Please stand for the reading of the Gospel from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 23 through 33. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Peace and grace to you from our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, do you ever think, if only God would speak plainly to me? Not just so that you could better understand the parables, but also to see what God wants you to do with your life. In today's gospel reading, Jesus said, "The hour is coming when I will no longer speak in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father." Just like the disciples usually misunderstood what Jesus was teaching them, we also constantly miss what God is telling us in our lives. Sometimes, however, he does speak in a manner that is instantly clear and concise. I've noticed, however, that unless you are the intended recipient of the message, he can often be explained away as coincidence or other commonplace reason. But if it's directed to you personally through faith, the message is clear. For example, why am I giving the sermon today? Sure, pastor's gone today, and someone needs to present a sermon, and I'm certainly no biblical expert, and between work and a to-do list that just keeps getting longer every day, I really don't have time for all hours, and it does take hours for me to prepare a sermon. But as Moses said, "I have never been eloquent, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled." Now, I don't mean to complain, but it's not my turn. It was supposed to be William's turn for filling in on the sermon. Wow. So last Sunday, I asked William why he couldn't be here today. I knew he'd be here if he could. He wouldn't have some flimsy excuse. As it turns out, he's moving into a new apartment today, and he has some roommates, and they have to sign the lease. He doesn't have to move out of his old apartment for a couple weeks, but his roommates have to be out today and into the new one today. Okay, so William, why can't you sign the lease early or later? Nope. Only time possible, considering the situation and the landlord, is today at 9 a.m. Now, someone else might not have that. That might not have been too important to them, but to me, it was God hitting me upside the head with a 2x4. Lord spoke to me and said, "I've made it impossible for William to be here. Now, I've made it clear enough that William is not the one to give the sermon today. It's up to you." And as he replied to Moses, "Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." When it's the Lord's will, even if you really don't want to do it, he makes it clear that you better do what he wants. In the same way, the Lord can also make things unclear if it's not time for you to understand yet. In our reading today, Jesus is giving the disciples their very final teaching on the evening before he went to the cross. This came at the end of their Passover observance, And typically the Passover Supper was a time when the head of the household would teach the children from the Scriptures. During this Passover, Jesus was instructing the disciples. In this reading, Jesus is preparing his followers for his death. He's already told them repeatedly what must happen, but he never told them in a way that they fully understood. It was never completely clear. Of course, he knows that he will leave them, and they will worry and begin to have doubts. Here Jesus reassures his disciples, and in doing so, reassures us as well. Jesus has been with them throughout his ministry, and now he promises not to abandon them. This preparation is precisely what they will need when Jesus dies at the cross. Before he leaves them, he gives them these words of comfort, and he also gives us these words of comfort as we wait his return. Now, looking closely, we may notice that Jesus is emphasizing repeatedly that things are about to change. He says, "The hour is coming. Before the hour, behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come." And twice he says, "In that day." Jesus can sometimes be hard to understand. He often speaks with words that obscure, veil, and hide his meaning. Today, Jesus says that until now, he's been speaking in figures of speech. Another translation of the same Greek word is dark saying, a saying which is hard to understand. In fact, at one point, some of the disciples said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" And John tells us that at that time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Had we been following him, we might have left him too. But today our selection starts with, "Jesus said, in that day you will ask nothing of me." This call to ask appears 5 times in our reading. As we have seen, the disciples asked many questions of Jesus, but they still didn't really understand who he was or what he was doing. In the following days, with the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit, this lack of knowledge will be filled with understanding. In fact, in the book of Acts, we see that the apostles seldom asked any questions. It's not that they stopped asking, but now their asking will be shaped by a new understanding, and now they would be under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit's poured out on them at Pentecost, the reversal will be complete, and they would finally understand. Next, he says, "Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." It's good to note, however, we can't treat this verse as a magic wish list formula. God is always in the business of blessing his people, even with material blessings. But where we go wrong is assuming that he will always bless us in the way we think he should bless us. We must see that in asking, God sets the limits and boundaries. Now, as Jesus comes to the end of his teaching, he encourages his disciples and us to pray. Because God the Father himself loves us, we can pray directly to him, asking in Jesus' name. We can now call God our Father, because Jesus is our brother. Now, the word Father may have mixed meaning for some people. Our earthly fathers may be loving and kind, or they may be abusive. Our relationship may be close, or we may be estranged. Our earthly fathers are imperfect, just as we are. But through our belief in Jesus and our love of him, and through Jesus taking on our sin and cleansing us, God the Father sees us as perfect. He is the perfect Father who would give anything for his children. Jesus tells us that when we pray, we are to ask in his name. So even if we don't specifically say in Jesus' name, we are asking in his name. And praying in Jesus' name is the foundation of prayer, connecting our prayer to our salvation that was won for us through his suffering and death. It doesn't matter if what we're asking is big or small. As the hymn says, "Take it to the Lord in prayer." A little over a week ago, one of the items in the news was about the death of the rock star Prince. Now, I don't know if any of you were fans of his or not. Regardless, he was a multi-talented musician, virtuoso on multiple instruments. One thing he wasn't an expert, though, was the power and necessity of prayer. See, on the way back from a concert, his plane made an unscheduled landing. He was admitted and treated at a hospital and then continued home. A couple days later, he appeared at a party at his studios, played a few songs, and afterwards had a question and answer with his fans. One of them naturally asked about his health, and he replied, "Wait a few days before you waste any prayers." Now, I think most of us would disagree with him. Might have told him the prayers are always a good thing. Still, too many of us don't take everything to the Lord in prayer, particularly when it may seem too trivial to bother him. Jesus is our mediator, but he also stresses that we are now reconciled to the Father. With his resurrection, the wall that separated us from the Father has been removed. With Jesus now speaking plainly to the disciples, their eyes are opening. Do you now believe? It could be that he's saying, I've told you repeatedly, and you're finally getting it. But he's also saying, okay, now you believe, so let me prepare you for what you'll need to endure next. They still have some understanding to gain, and when he was crucified, they will scatter, leaving him behind. The disciples won't be abandoned. They will abandon the shepherd. Now here is a road that the Savior must walk alone, at least without his disciples, for the Father is still with him. Suddenly they are doubting again. We also have times when we doubt, wondering what God wants and what he wills for us. After Jesus' resurrection, the pieces come together for the disciples. God is no longer hidden. He has come, died, and risen from the dead for us. Because he rose from the dead, we can go to God in his name and know that he will hear us and answer our prayers. Along with the disciples, he has said these things to us, that in him we may have peace. Our reading today concludes with, "In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." And all God's people said, Amen.